This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Forum. This week, you'll learn with over 500,000 listeners the secrets of success from top CEOs. No sound bites, no gotchas. Instead, you'll hear direct insights, stories, and wisdom on personal leadership and on growing your business. Unfiltered and straight from the most successful CEOs. Hope you enjoy. And if you miss a CEO interview, you can hear any on our website, www.ceoforum.ceo. Hello, America. This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show. And we're here today with Michael Hansen. How are you, Michael?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
And Michael is the CEO of Cengage. And it's a really interesting story. It's a large company, about 1.6 billion, 5,000 employees, and incredible Glassdoor numbers that you've done. But what we're going to talk about is a turnaround. So anyone listening in and you want to turn around a business, tell us what it was like. You became CEO in 2012. What was the situation like?
So Cengage is essentially the largest U.S.-based textbook provider. We've all used textbooks. We've all been to college, gotten textbooks, and we all pretty much had the same experience when we walked into the store, which was like, why are these things so expensive, right? Why is this book, like, at the time when we went to college, probably $80, $90, now it's like $250, $300, right? So I came into this company, and this company had been bought by private equity 5 years before. And the private equity guys said, you know, it's all good. It's all fine. Everything is working well. We just need help with the digital transformation. So why don't you help us with the digital transformation? Once I lifted the hood, actually a completely different picture emerged. What the picture that emerged was that the company essentially rested on the business model because it was so comfortable. And the business model went something like that. You convince a professor to adopt the product, meaning they teach out of that textbook, and the student has to buy. And since the professor allegedly doesn't care about price, you can price whatever you want, and you can raise prices. So once I dug deep, I looked in the company, and by the way, the industry raised prices twice a year by 10%.
I just have to interrupt you and ask this question, Michael. So why are textbooks $250? Before we go further, just... is it just because they could charge that, because people were paying that, and it's supply and demand?
In essence, it was that. And, you know, if you look at the last 20 years, Robert, what happened is they used to be, 20 years ago, they used to be, you know, $50, $60, which was a reasonable price. But what the industry saw is they saw units decline consecutively. So students were buying fewer books. They were buying fewer books because they wanted a way around paying for that, right? And keep in mind, now all of a sudden we have students that are not 18 to 22 years old anymore, but these are women with, you know, two children that have a job, that want to get an education in a community college to get to the next and better job. So we have millions of students out there who are really in financial distress and have to finance their education out of whatever is left over after they paid for everything else. So... the market was working, basically. The market said, look, I'm not going to pay $80, $90. The industry saw units decline, and what they did is they kept raising prices. Mm. And this is really the sad but true story about how we got to $250, $300 textbooks.
So there you are, and thank you for sharing that, because I've wondered this for years, probably right. All the listeners have as well. So when you take it on, there is significant debt, something like $4 billion. You're going through bankruptcy, and you're losing your customer base, and you're in a field that's moving digital. So you're sort of akin to taking the captainship of the Titanic right now.
Yeah, but everything else was cool. Absolutely, Robert. So
it was a beautiful view.
It was the perfect storm. But you know what? Underlying the worst thing that I found, on top of everything that you've mentioned, right? I mean, declining units, debt load, etc. The worst thing that I found was the fact that the vast majority of employees in the company had lost confidence in themselves. Because they basically said, you know, there's a bunch of executives up there, like the 10 people, and they're chasing because they're incentivized by private equity to chase profitability, chase EBITDA. But what they're doing is crazy. I mean, we're on the front lines. We are, you know, talking to faculty. We're talking to students. We see this every day. This is crazy. We can't keep doing this. But they had no way of communicating that up. It was, you know, a complete schism between the leadership of the company and the employees. And as a result, the employees had lost faith. They had just, you know, whatever. We'll show up for work. They pay me. That's fine. But there was no real strategy and culture that you could build on.
So, what did you do?
So, the first thing amongst the mess that you described, which it was, I mean, it was the proverbial perfect storm, was for me to figure out sort of what are the priorities, right? I mean, they're all big problems, but how do you tackle them in order of priority? The obvious one was, you know, the balance sheet, meaning we had $5.5 billion of debt on the business.
$5.5 billion
of debt. We had, you know, very high profitability because through raising the prices, you can imagine it flows straight to the bottom line. So the profitability was very, very high, but the units were declining. So the first thing I did, I assessed the balance sheet. I brought in some experts around, you know, assessing the viability of the balance sheet, and very quickly figured out that it was not doable. So we prepared a filing for Chapter 11. We filed a few months later in July of 2013. We filed for Chapter 11 and went through this process, and I will, you know, fairly admit, I had never been through Chapter 11. I had even not the faintest idea what it would entail. And in our case, it was a really messy process. And it took 9 months. It took literally thousands of hours of lawyers to, you know, figure out how we ultimately get a settlement between all the various financial stakeholders, debt holders, equity holders, etc. But we emerged 9 months later in 2014, early 2014, we emerged with a new shareholder base, which were largely our debt holders, with, you know, a cleaned up capital structure. We had brought down the debt by $4 billion, so now we sit on, you know, roughly $1.5 billion.
Let's just hold on. How do you bring down the debt by $4 billion?
Basically, you negotiate with all the stakeholders, with the debt holders and with the equity holders. Under the supervision of the courts, you negotiate who gives up what. And at the end of the day, the simplest way to describe it, the debt holders get the equity holder gets washed out, right? The private equity firm that had bought the company was essentially washed out of their position. The debt holders get the equity, and then there is a lot of detail about how do you value the equity, is there cash payment to the debt holders, etc. So you end up with essentially a completely new shareholder structure of the company. And that's when we started in 2014.
So then what else happened?
So very closely on the heels, and frankly, while we're going through Chapter 11, you know, I started to assess the real challenging business situation, right? I mean, what do you do if your product is way overpriced when students are saying, I don't want to pay this? They find increasingly ways around buying that product. And your ability to raise prices is just very limited at this stage because, you know, you can't keep going that route. So the first thing I did, which was a bit of a, I would say, for me, at least in my career, very unusual, I assessed my management team and decided to essentially fire the entire management team. And I did that within the first 2 months of being a CEO. And it was nerve-wracking, I have to say.
Did you do it all at one time? Was it one person?
No, it was sequential. I mean, what I assessed, and the bottom line, this is not, you know, coming in with a hatchet and killing everybody and whatever, you know, that was not the spirit of it. What I had to assess is how much time do I have to turn the business model, and what is the team like? And frankly, the whole history that I described before had created a toxicity amongst the team. That they were actually complete. I mean, they were individually quite capable people, but they were unable to work with each other. So every meeting, the meeting would happen after the meeting. So we would set in a meeting, would say, like, here's
so
what
you
we're going
to
do.
You just went out. How long did it take you to hire the new management team of how many?
Well, I was, I guess, lucky in a way that people had worked with me before and they trusted, I think, our relationship. So I hired people from my previous jobs that I knew, and they said, you know, look, this is a very difficult situation, and obviously we're not.
And how many total people did you have to
Replace? I had 10 people to replace.
Wow! And the board, you told the board, and they're like, okay, we're good with this. And
the board was, you know, reality is the board at the time was much more concerned about the bankruptcy in the Chapter 11, and was very occupied with that. And I put forward a plan, and I said, look, as part of the plan, I need people that I, A, trust, and that can work together without me supervising every single transaction.
Okay. We're about to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Michael, and we're going to talk about how you went from defense over to offense with a company. Back in a few.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Michael Hansen, the CEO of Cengage. This is the largest company in books for college, and you have about 20 million college students. About 11 million of them are clients.
That's exactly right.
So we have a couple of minutes left. So let's talk about what else you did. You went on the defense. You had $5.5 billion debt. You brought in a whole new management team. Now, what did you go on the offense in terms of first your products and then the culture?
So first in terms of the products, we started with a simple but so often so hard proposition is if we are not perceived by the student as value for money, we've got a problem. So we got to figure out a product where the student says, this is actually worth what
I'm spending on. So how do you do that?
So the first thing we did is we established a digital platform. The digital learning experience is a better learning experience. In other words, on a digital platform, I can customize the material to your learning style. I can say you are more of a visual learner, so I'll give you more video. I can assess where you are every step of the way. So you don't have to wait until the midterm to figure out whether, you know, you are on track or off track.
Is that me telling you or is that you following my digital body language?
This is you. You are doing exercises. You are submitting homeworks. You are doing, assessments on the platform. And I can very quickly assess together with the faculty where you stand and give you constant feedback as to where you stand. Even better, I can give you feedback around, you know what, Robert, you don't understand this particular concept in chemistry because you have a lack in math that is originating.
Is the computer feeding that out? Is the professor feeding that out? Is the student? How do you know that?
Both. It's our platforms. The student interacts with the platform, right? The professor gives assignments because it's their course, right? And we help the professor grade the assignments, and we help the professor to customize the learning materials to the individual student.
Fantastic. So you completely transformed that.
We could transform that, but that was only one part of the equation. The other part of the equation was the affordability equation. In other words, in this country, college has become unaffordable for way too many students than we can tolerate. A lot of students are saying, and the data is extraordinarily compelling, cost is the biggest concern. Tuition cost is much talked about. Everybody says it's terrible. And every year in the fall, we talk about how terrible it is and not much happens, right? So next year, we'll talk about the same thing again. And we said, you know, look, we got to tackle that issue. Obviously, we're a for-profit business. We got to make money. But we pivoted the model completely into a different direction. So, and it took a while to get there. But we then pivoted the model and said, instead of selling you one textbook after the other, why don't we sell you a complete all-you-can-learn subscription? Think Netflix. Think Spotify. This is how students consume media today, right? So we opened up our entire library. We said, we're not going to sell you an individual textbook anymore. You get a subscription, $120 a semester. You get access to every book, anything you could conceivably need, plus the platforms that I described to you before, for $120 a semester, $180 a year. And that has sent shockwaves through the industry, as you can imagine. But most importantly, we have gotten tremendous feedback from both faculty as well as students who said, like, finally, somebody is willing to actually challenge the status quo and actually do something about the status that we all complain about every year.
I love it. And everyone knows that college is too expensive, but you're doing something.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, our industry, Robert, was always, yeah, it's too expensive, but it's all about the tuition that we have nothing to do with, right? So it's always somebody else's problem. And when you look at the data, the second largest financial stress of students is textbooks. The first is tuition. but only very, very slow, shortly behind that is textbooks. And they spend hours and hours searching for better alternatives. In some cases, weeks.
So instead of spending all of that time, they could be studying and learning.
Exactly. Exactly. And they would have materials day one. And, you know, look.
Brilliant subscription model.
If you go into a community college today, there are a significant number of students who say, you know what, let me not buy the textbook. Maybe I can get through without buying the textbook because it's so expensive. So then the midterm rolls around, they figure out they're behind, and what do? They drop out. And that's why we have this insane dropout rates in colleges.
Okay, so we have a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about the culture and what is your rating? I know it's super high on Glassdoor.
I haven't looked recently. It's like 96% or
that's,
so. Which
I thought it was like 93.
Right.
Okay, but so now that's a real validation. What happened that helped you achieve that type of Glassdoor rating? CEOs, we have hundreds of thousands listening in. They want to get 97 or any number, even 93.
Yeah. Look, I think that the rating is really, really not about me. The rating is about a reflection of our culture that we've built. And what I will say is one of the things that was probably a bit unusual in this early days of Cengage and the big mess, the Titanic that you described, I started an effort to rebuild the culture in the company. So what I did is I went out and I said, we're going to take, give or take a year, to have a dialogue with the rank and file employees about why are you here? Why are you at Cengage? Why now? Why is this the right choice for you in your career? And we had well over 1,500 people involved in small group dialogues about that question. And it was, in many respects, very liberating because, as described to you before, there was this perceived, here is upper management worried about an exit and EBITDA and profitability, and here's the rest of us, and we don't know anymore what we're doing. So it really helped glue us together. And the end result of it was a document called Our Credo, which is sort of the declaration of independence for us. In the way, this is what we believe, who we are. And it starts with, we believe in the power and joy of learning. Well, you know, the textbook publisher in the old model...
Love it.
There was nothing in there that believed in the power and joy of learning. They were selling textbooks between two hardcovers. So,
okay, you've 2 minutes important. Left. I want to ask you quickly, one sentence, your definition of leadership. What's most important to you?
To me, the most important thing about leadership is that you always acknowledge that the team comes first and it's not about you. There's one thing every single leader in the world has in common. They have followers. If you don't have followers, you're by definition not a leader. So you really need to focus on your team, but also the organization at large. How do you make them really own the direction that you're going in? It's not about you being brilliant about figuring out a strategy or...
Is there any unique practices you have? Anything you do... Thursdays we eat anchovies.
I don't know. I guess if there was one, I would write a book and then retire on the beach. I don't know. I think what it is really listening. Really spend the time listening. And don't walk in. I mean, I had a lot of experience before I took on this particular challenge. But, you know, I didn't come in and said, you know what, I've got the book. Here it is. We go to A, B, C. You know, I listened very carefully to the people. And I chose the people I listened to. I went to the frontline people first. And they told me kind of, you know, here's what's going on. Here's what's really happening. So to me, the biggest thing about leadership is really listening.
Final question. The website, if anyone wants to look up, what is your website?
www.cengage.com. And if you want to find out about the new subscription service, you go /unlimited, and then you have the Cengage Unlimited subscription service.
And there you have it. Wonderful having you on the CEO show, Michael.
Thank you very much for having me.
Pro ProPure Gravity Water Filters. Most tested, most trusted. The Pro One G2.0 all-in-one filter by ProPure removes and reduces up to 200 plus contaminants, including fluoride, lead, and more. There's no priming required, no add-on filter needed for fluoride reduction, and it's totally reusable. There's a size to fit most competitive brands of gravity water filter systems. ProPure Water Filters. When you don't know what's in your water, visit an authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com.
Long-distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for sunshine pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra-long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find sunshine pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
This is Jessica Armand, creator of the fluoride-free oral care brand, My Magic Mud. You're going to love our new products. Our cutting-edge oral rinses deeply soothe your mouth and fight cavities naturally. Our breath spray, My Magic Mist, will invigorate your senses with essential oils of peppermint and eucalyptus. Our clinically proven toothpaste and tooth powders whiten your teeth and detoxify your mouth. Buy discounted bundles direct at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off with coupon code GCN10. MyMagicMud.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutraMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 55 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. That's BEST 55 to 443-443.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Rees, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Ira Niemark, a very special guest. We're going to talk about his book, How I Retired Successfully and Happily and Lived to Be 100. And what Ira's going to tell is the story of Bergdorf Goodman, where he was the CEO for 17 years, and he turned around the company with 800% growth. But more than that, he was the one responsible for redefining luxury retail by bringing in brands, finding Giorgio Armani in Italy with a light bulb there and making the brands the stars. And that's the type of story we're going to tell. But
all right.
I want to start, Ira, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Ira, in full disclosure, has been a guest with me numerous times, but this is the first time since How I Lived to Be 100.
Right.
So let's start off, before we talk about your history, let's talk about retail today.
Right.
And you were telling me before about how retail is still not getting the message of how to really succeed. What is the key for retail to succeed?
I marvel today at the lack of fashion shows, advertising, promotions to bring customers into the stores instead of off-price retailing. I was talking to Robert Chavez, the president of Hermes, the other day, and I explained to him that I just finished looking at all the reviews of the French fashion shows taken a week earlier. Young designers, new designers, all learning how to be professionals. What I would do, as I did 26 years ago, 30 years ago, by bringing in Dior and other designers, that the trick would be to bring a new designer into the store every week, have a major fashion show of this designer every week, and something going on every week would make the store look alive and exciting. Instead, I look at the papers today on Sunday, very little, if any, advertising, very little, if any, fashion shows taking place. The whole thing is sort of settled down to, well, we'll do all our business on the Internet.
So it's almost that there's this great idea where they could promote these designers,
yes,
which is something you were doing, and bring in people all the time and create nonstop events and
exactly.
excitement.
Exactly.
But it's not happening.
It's not happening. Only because, I'm sorry to say it, it requires a great imagination and interest. And I don't find retailers today having great imagination.
Yeah.
The only imagination I see is all gravitating towards how much business can we do on the Internet, which is fine. But brick-and-mortar stores are not going away. Poorly operated brick-and-mortar stores will, but those that achieve customer interest will continue to be successful.
And you and I have spoken many times, and you tell me one retailer that you like a lot is Apple.
Yes. Well, when people say to me, at one of my last classes at Columbia, when I was lecturing there, a student asked a question. You spoke about the past and present of retailing, Mr. Niemark. You didn't talk about the disappearance of brick-and-mortar stores during the Internet. I said, no, but let me ask you a question. Have you seen the Apple store on 5th Avenue and 59th Street? Yes. Is it busy? Oh, yes, it's busy 24 hours a day. And the reason, I said, is because they have great assortments of merchandise, terrific service, but everybody there has a computer. They could do it at home, but they come in because it is a buying experience. And customers love buying experiences. And Apple has proved this, and I sort of proved it early on with Bergdorf by bringing fashion store, Bob Armani and Fendi and so on. People who love fashion love to attend these events, and that's how you get them in the store.
So let's talk about how you came up with that concept. And I know you. Later on we'll talk about in the 1930s when you started working. But when you first became CEO of Bergdorf Goodman, you've always told me they were old, expensive.
Dull, dull, expensive, and intimidating.
Old, dull, expensive, and intimidating. And what was your vision?
The job was to make it young, new, expensive, and intimidating.
And how did you do that?
Well, we did that on the basis of reviewing everything that had been done in the past, but very fortunately, my first trip to Europe, and I believe it's for the 1975, I went to an Yves Saint Laurent fashion show. It was fabulous. I thought it was so good, if I brought it back to New York and did a fashion show in Bergdorf of that, it would get a great deal of interest. It was overwhelming because we got Yves Saint Laurent and a few other guys to do Dior, to do fashion shows of their merchandise, and the press loved it. It traded up all over the country, and customers loved it. And all of a sudden, the store began attracting every retailer, every wholesaler didn't want to sell a retailer because Saks had them, Bloomingdale's had them, and even Barney's had them. But being an old conservative store, the designers did not want to sell the Bergdorf's. But once we broke with Yves Saint Laurent, Dior, and others, it was amazing how they all came in. And this volume every day kept going ahead. Sales increased 15% a year, every year, on top of each other. We had a great success and laid a lot of money for a lot of people.
And I remember you once telling me how, you know, you found Giorgio Armani was in Italy, and what was that?
When we were looking for new designers, we went to, with our fashion director, Dawn Mello, we went to a hotel to see Giorgio Armani. And he was there. It was a very inexpensive hotel, and had a bare bulb hanging down from the ceiling. That's how inexpensive it was. And we made the purchase, and he asked, could we please pay for the order before so he could order the fabric, which we did. And today, he's a multi-billionaire and one of the most successful designers in the world. So everybody starts from nothing, and he started, but he's a great success. And he helped Bergdorf get to where it is today.
But so what is it through your whole career that you were really proud
of? Well, the thing I think a young fellow is you have to feel you want to be a success, a driven feeling that you can always do better. And no matter what the job was at Von Rotella, being a doorboy, I found that mentioning names of customers, good afternoon, Mrs. Vanderbilt, Mrs. Whitney, Mrs. Payson, they'd look at who's this kid who knows our name and remembers the name. And I realized mentioning a person's name is something very important, as I found out later on, it's in other books. But once you become a doorman, you know what's the next step from here, and it would be good enough to be invited to be the president's office boy. Being the president's office boy, I observed how people work with each other, how communicate each other, keep in contact with each other. And that taught me a great deal, watching and listening as an office boy to the president. He then said, I want you to go down and be a stock boy in a handbag department. We're having a problem. I didn't like the idea, but I heard he was a stock boy once, too. So he sent me down, and one day, there was a knock on the door, and it was Mr. Holmes with the board of directors on a tour of the store. He said, see this kid, he wants my job someday. So he knew what my ambition was, and he wasn't wrong. Then they sent me up to be in charge of the merchandise control, and that helped me in my military career, because when the war ended, I was put in charge of the 73rd Wing compound on Saipan, deciding what merchandise stays, goes over the cliff, and what goes back to the War Surplus Act. They didn't want too much stuff coming back to the U.S. When I came back, and they put me in charge of merchandise control and inventory management, I was puzzled that the way people planned their budgets never quite made sense to me, of deciding how much money to have, what months to spend. It was all mysterious and sort of hope before wishing everything be true. When I arrived in Flatting's in Providence, Rhode Island, I sat down with a salesman, and we said, what do we really want to know? And we worked out the opening unit open-to-buy system, which was, I must say, modestly, it was brilliant. It worked beautifully in Flatting's, so well that G. Fox hired me to show the system there. And then G. Fox, after that, as you know, B. Altman hired me. I put the system in there, and I put the system in at Bergdorf. And the other day at lunch with Robert Chavez, we have the system, and thanks to you, it works.
And so this is full circle after all this time. You have 2 minutes left. What has to happen in retail for retail to succeed in the future?
I think they've all forgotten customer service. And salespeople, good salespeople, not just bodies standing around, professional, knowledgeable salespeople are like spark plugs in a car. And what retailers have done, they've eliminated salespeople all over the place. It's equivalent of a car running low on gas and pulling out spark plugs to save gas. Of course, the car wasn't going to go. And by not having salespeople, everything now becomes self-service and a great opportunity. Salespeople used to move merchandise, not just one item, but two or three or four. Stanley Marcus had the great story. A customer came in to buy a necktie. He was on the floor. He sold the necktie. He then said, I have a suit that goes with his necktie. And I have a coat that goes with his necktie and a hat that goes with his necktie. And by the time he finished, he showed a complete ensemble. It may be a myth, but that was Stanley's message of keep going to sell merchandise.
So, final message of inspiration of being a great CEO. You had a 17-year stint. What advice do you have to CEOs?
Be ambitious. Take care of your people, and they will take care of you.
And there you have it. We are speaking with Ira Niemark on the CEO Show. We were talking about how I retired successfully and happily and lived to be 100, which you can buy at Amazon.com. Fantastic book, his fifth book, and you're going to hear stories from Princess Di, like you told, Windsor Castle, to finding Giorgio Armani, and to reinventing and reimagining the entire luxury retail industry so that brands can be the key to it. And that's the message to all of you. You find the people to promote and then get the media from that, and that's how your business grows exponentially.
Thank you.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about Down Home Value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Pro Pure Gravity Water Filters. Most tested, most trusted. The Pro 1 G2.0 all-in-one filter by Pro Pure removes and reduces up to 200-plus contaminants, including fluoride, lead, and more. There's no priming required, no add-on filter needed for fluoride reduction, and it's totally reusable. There's a size to fit most competitive brands of gravity water filter systems. Pro Pure Water Filters. When you don't know what's in your water, visit an authorized Pro Pure dealer or ProPureUSA.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers, but if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. Advertise at GCNlive.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Raising our voices alone or together. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Fighting for victory on the battlefield and on the playing field. Seeing the world through new eyes. And the earth from miles above. Redefining beauty, brains, and what it really means to be queen. Making ourselves heard on stage and on screen. Showing the way in Silicon Valley. And showing up for others wherever help is needed most. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese. And this is the CEO Show. We're here today with Justin Wetherill. How are you, Justin?
Well, thanks for having me, Jay.
And Justin is the co-founder and CEO of You Break, I Fix. Amazing story, which you're going to hear from 21 years old, how he founded this. Now they have 419 stores, and it is, frankly, one of the coolest stores that you'll see anywhere. But we interviewed, you know, about a year ago or a year and a half, and you were about 250 stores. Now you're up to 419. Pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's been an exciting ride these 9 years. It's been wild.
Yeah, moving on to 10. So let's start off and talk, what is You Break, I Fix? Because it's different than any store that is anywhere, really, in America.
Sure. So we're a electronics repair chain located throughout the U.S. and Canada. We specialize in same-day, same-unit repairs, so our average repair takes about an hour, and the same device you bring in is the same device you're walking out with.
And it's a big difference, because I have, for example, like yesterday, of all things, I dropped my iPhone for the first time in ages, and this would usually be sent away, cost me a ton of money, but you will do this within 1 hour.
Yep.
And at a fraction of the price.
Yep.
And so what types of products do you work on?
So we fix anything with a power button. You know, a large part of business is phones, but we also fix computers, tablets, televisions, all that.
So let's talk about, there you are, you're like 21 years old or something, it's 2009. You're living at home in the bedroom of your house. Tell the story of where your vision came from.
Sure. So I quite literally stumbled upon it. You know, right at the beginning of 2009, I had an iPhone. I bumped into somebody walking on the sidewalk, probably like a typical millennial, had my head in my phone, not watching where I was walking, dropped it, broke it, went to the Apple store to try to get it fixed. They wanted $199. At the time, AT&T subsidized the phone. It was $199 to buy the phone.
So it cost the same to buy as to fix.
So I thought, you know, little did I know the phones were really $800, and I was, you know, being subsidized due to the fact that I was in contract. But, yeah, they wanted the same exact amount I paid for it. So this is crazy, kind of being a techie and, a nerd. I tried to fix it myself, and I broke it.
Now, you say that, the word nerd, you say sort of with pride, though, right?
Oh, love it, yeah.
Yeah, there you
wouldn't
go.
Have it any other way. Tried to fix it, broke it worse, and at that point realized, you know, like I mentioned, me being techie, if I was having this problem, there are a bunch of other people having this problem, and rather than getting discouraged, I decided to get good at it. So I ordered more broken ones on eBay and got good at fixing those and actually sold those as refurbished.
So you actually would buy the broken phones on eBay, right?
Yep.
and then you'd fix them yourself. And how did you teach them yourself how to? There weren't videos on YouTube.
Totally trial and error.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy who taught himself the Rubik's. Pretty cool.
Still can't.
How long did it take you to learn how to fix the phones?
You know, I think I ordered 6 phones. I probably ruined 2 of them, but, you know, it only took a couple days.
So how'd this turn into a company? What was the hurdle that you had to overcome?
Yeah, so we started online and saw a lot of pretty quick success running it out of a UPS store in my bedroom. So people would ship phones in. I'd pick them up on the way to work. I'd drop them off on the way to work from the night before. I'd pick them up on the way home from the way to work, fix them that night, drop them off on the way back. We had a neat little kind of mail-in business my partner David and I did, and we hired our first employee, who was my roommate. The business moved from my bedroom to the living room. And then another friend.
And your parents were okay with giving up?
Oh, so I was out of the house. I had graduated college. I was
okay.
I was working and had roommates at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Another friend of mine came by actually when I was on vacation once and said, "Hey, you know, this is crazy. You got my roommate and our first employee, Carlos, going out to going out to Panera Bread and meeting people and fixing phones. You need to open up a store and have them come to you." And David and I just said, you know, look, it's 2009. Amazon's taking over. Retail's going away. There's no way we're going to go open up a store. He said, no, this is different. People don't want to wait. And he believed in it so much, he offered to put up all the money for that first store. And we opened that first store in the not-so-great part of town. I think it was 500 square feet. I think rent was $800 a month. And the second month that store was open, it outpaced the sales of the website that served the whole country. And that was kind of like the light bulb moment. And we did that for 3 years and opened up 47 corporate stores.
I like it. So how has your leadership philosophy changed from 3 parts? 1, when you were starting and you were a leader just growing a company. 2, to let's say when you had 100, 200 stores. 3, to now where you're knocking on the door of 500 stores. So your leadership philosophy, is it the same? Is it changed? I'm guessing the integrity has sort of stayed the same, but knowing you.
Yeah, no, I think that's has to be a core philosophy for any leader who wants to be successful is integrity. But, my job, my leadership style has been forced to change a ton over the years. I mean, 5 years ago, I was, heck, 3 years ago, I was packing boxes in our distribution center.
Literally
3 days a week they would get busy and I have to go over there and literally pack boxes.
So what's on your dashboard today? When you wake up in the morning, you're not thinking packing boxes. What are you thinking?
Obviously revenue's up there. The first and most important dashboard at Ubrick, I fix those customer experience related metrics. How is our NPS? How are our CSAT scores? How are our surveys? What's our turnaround times? What's our warranty rate? I mean, the metrics that affect the customers, you know, what parts are in stock in stores to provide same-day repairs, those are the metrics that everybody's looking at first. And then we know that if we get those right, it'll translate into revenue.
So talk about your long-term vision. You're a young guy, 31. What's the vision?
I mean, I think we've done a fantastic job of making a name for ourselves in the kind of cell phone repair segment. And over the next couple of years, we look to expand that into other segments, whether it be heavier into computers or tablets or what have you. I think, and we've talked about it before, you know, at a very high level, there were, you know, TV repair shops in the 90s, computer repair shops in the 2000s, you know, a lot of cell phone repair shops, Ubrick FX being one of them. Now, there's no reason why those others couldn't have adapted and become a national brand other than their unwillingness to change. I think we're really confident there'll always be something to fix. We just have to kind of stay resolute in our desire to always make sure we're not focused on what we're physically fixing, but the fact that we're fixing what's important to people.
On those inspirational words, thank you for being on the CEO show, Justin. And I want to tell everyone, think about this. It's all about the customer experience, whatever business you're in. And the key to that is not always getting the best technical people, but getting really kind.
Yep.
I'm Dave. David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.